So yesterday morning, there was a tour out at the East Baton Rouge Parish Prison. Metro Councilman Daryl Hurst has been passionate and very outspoken about our need for a new prison. He joins us right now. How are you, sir?
Glad to be here, man. Always a great day on the Brian Holiday Show.
I appreciate that. Okay, walk us through a little bit about what went down yesterday, and then we're going to backtrack to what led up to needing a task force. So walk us through the tour from yesterday.
So yesterday we invited citizens with a maximum of 20 participants from all walks of life. So we had academians, with a whole bunch of other folks that came out to view what is the deplorable conditions of the East Baton Rouge Parish prison, essentially.
And what did they see when they got there? How is the prison deplorable?
I mean, you literally can take your fist, you can hit a piece of metal, you can turn it into a shank. So the before we started the tour, the warden pulled out a box of shanks and other things that were made from materials that were falling apart from the walls, the doors, the ceilings, the pipes, and how it created an unsafe environment, not just for the inmates, but also for the workers.
That's obviously a big thing, but are we looking at needing a new parish prison, or are we needing repairs? Because that in and of itself, I don't think tips the scales. There's more there.
There is. So the last jail/prison that was made of this model was Lafourche Parish.
Okay.
1970s. This jail was built in 1950. So we're 70-something years in, and this old, what you see on TV with the bars clanking, that stuff doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
It's all about de-escalation. It's all about making the inmates more productive so that when they come out, they're educated, informed, they go into the workforce and be and add value to society. It is light. It's natural light that comes in. These new facilities, because we did visit Lafourche.
Mm-hmm.
We were the model that they used to build their old prison.
Right.
And they've since built a new one. And it looks like a big basketball gymnasium with 10 TVs on the wall, the programming space. They literally leave the jail and go work offshore on the oil rigs. I mean, they have, for Louisiana, master what it looks like for taking someone in and providing proper reform.
So the reform part is one of it, and the training part is another. Making sure somebody is prepared to return to society is huge, and I think kind of undervalued as well. Because we get into these, like, we put these blinders on saying, you know, prisoners need to be punished and just put away. But unless you want them repeating when they get out, there's got to be some level of education training that goes along with that. How does that incorporate into a new prison versus what can be done with what we have?
So you cannot change. There's so many places in this facility that are not usable because they're a danger to the guards and to the inmates because there's so many blind spots.
Okay.
Think about it. It was built in the 50s. They didn't even have air conditioning back then in these facilities.
Right.
They had to be retrofitted for air conditioning. Even right now, last summer, they went 90 days without air because they couldn't find parts for it. So it wasn't that the inmates wanted to be hot or the workers,
mm-hmm.
but everything's being retrofitted. The piping, we have to get custom things made from machine shops because they can't find them in stores anymore. But that's to maintain our current facility. The whole model is to de-escalate, to educate, to reform, and to send them back into society better. And if we don't do that, then we can't be mad at the judges. We can't be mad at the DAs. We can't be mad at the sheriffs, the chief of police. We can't blame everybody but ourselves if we don't invest in making these people who have maybe been a bad actor
mm-hmm.
and invested in, because they live in our communities now, so we have to choose right. what we want to do with them. They're coming right. back.
Yeah.
So are we going to make the right investment to allow them to come back and not be the person that comes on our door and kicks our door in and give them an opportunity to succeed in life, number one? And no, you're not their mother or father, but everybody didn't have the same opportunity, so we have to invest in the ones that weren't invested in. And then number two is I'm going to invite everybody to come to the next tour.
Okay.
When you come there, you'll be able to see it for yourself how important. We literally had 20 to 30 people that showed up yesterday because it was misquoted that we were taking more people, and we had to turn them around. So now we have a second tour already full, really working on the third tour. And what we're doing is demonstrating and showing people the deplorable conditions. And these people are pre-trial, Brian. These people have not been convicted.
Right.
So it could be a DWI on a weekend. It could be child support that's back paid because you lost your job. It could be a whole bunch of other stuff that's not just an egregious act of violence or drugs or something in our community.
Mm-hmm.
It's a holding cell.
Yes, Yeah, it's those who basically aren't out on bail.
Correct.
Yeah. When it comes down to a dollar for dollar, is it costing us more to maintain versus building new?
So when the mayor brought some folks in a few weeks ago, and I always told him I don't want to privatize our local jail, right? We're not going to have a factory with our local folks that get pretrial detained. But she said this is not what we're looking at. We're looking at some options for public-private partnerships where it's financed through a private deal and the city can pay it off and may not have to go to the taxpayer.
Okay.
Over a certain amount of time.
What's that look like?
I don't know the full model.
Okay.
I didn't see the paperwork on it, but the warden actually announced it yesterday again during the tour. There's some other options like what LaFouche does is, so the rate is about $10 to $15 a day for local detainees.
Mm-hmm.
If it's DOC through the state, it's about $29.
Okay.
And if it's a federal, now DOCs are convicted felons.
Right.
And most of them are doing mostly reentry. And then the feds, if we house federal inmates, then it's $75 a day. So there's other models that can allow us to bring people in that help at a higher rate. And if we host out of parish, it's about $150 a day. So there are other models that we can use where we can structure it to be able to support other parishes, other levels of government, to offset some of the costs that might come back to the taxpayer.
We got Metro Councilman Daryl Hurst with us talking about the possibility of a new prison built in the 50s. I mean, that's just it. When you look at the changes and advancements in so many other places, it's like, I know if you're the hardest of hardliners that say a prison's a prison, I don't need amenities to go along with this. This isn't the embassy suites here. But even still, you're looking at making sure you have the latest and greatest in technology to keep those on one side of the wall. And I know we don't have a lot of escapes from our parish prison, but keep those who are supposed to be behind bars, and the basic human safety on that side is important as well. Where are we at with the task force right now as far as, like, when you're putting together plans, ideas, do we have locations or potential locations involved? How far down the road are we on that front?
So the first thing we had to do was see how bad ours was and then go visit two others. So we did a juvenile, we did an adult, and we're about to do another adult, the one down there, the Hunts prison is opening back up.
Okay.
They're about three quarters way finished. And we're able to compare. It's just night and day, man. And the second thing that we had to do was through that tour is understand what steps each facility took to determine what size. It's not about beds. It's literally about programming. It is all about how do we get you educated, how do we create entrepreneurial skills, and how do we get you ready for employment? Because people that have money don't go rob a store to feed their kids or to pay a bill. So a lot of times I don't want to invest in the hardened criminals, but if you're listening, these aren't the hardened criminals. These are people that may have a misdemeanor and got locked up, right? These are people who may have smoked weed on a corner and got handcuffed and got taken to the parish for a weekend, or maybe contempt of court. It could be something that simple, but I wouldn't let my dog stand behind those bars for more than 5 hours or off the leash. Let me say it that way.
Sure. A Metro Councilman Daryl Hurst with us. No, when I ask about location, I mean like potential locations for the next one.
I got that, and I kind of ignored that part of it because you know, it's always the NIMBY effect about not in my backyard, right?
There is no bigger topic of NIMBY than like.
But what I will say with that is I'm going to give a huge shout out to Senator Regina Barrow because her district is right there by the airport.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you have to look at is in the 1950s, minority neighborhoods were dumping grounds for things that they didn't want in the majority neighborhoods through segregation. And so it's always, why does everything have to go to North Baton Rouge? And the one thing I talked to her about is, don't know where we're going to put it, but let's just say it does come back to North Baton Rouge, right?
Sure.
Everybody keeps talking about the Jetson site, which is the old LTI Jetson site, which is a state site, and they've donated land to us a number of times that we haven't acted upon, which is also in her district. That's why I brought up both sites. But the one thing that I've asked Councilman Cleve Dunn and Aaron Moak to do, who both sit on the Airport Commission, is to commission a study of and Aaron Moak is also on the task force with us as well, along with Jim Rocker, but is to commission a study of best and highest use of that property by the airport. Because how do we grow our airport? How do we grow our market share there? Is we have amenities that when you get off that plane that benefit the airport, whether it be retail, eateries, hotels, and we bring a consultant to figure out what that looks like. And then as we master plan the move and the demolition of it, right. We also master plan how do we restore it.
Right, so am I kind of hearing in between the lines here that where the parish prison is right now can serve the parish better by being something else in the future?
Absolutely. I mean, it's an airport. When you go to New Orleans, you want restaurants. Go to L.A., Miami, you want things around the airport.
So New Orleans is a great example, though, Daryl. Metro Councilman Daryl Hurst, I guess. New Orleans is a great example because look where OPP is at. Like, look where the Orleans Parish Prison is at, right off the interstate. I mean, you're not too far from the CBD. So, like, when you talk about where to put something new, there's no great answer.
No, and Lafayette is the same way in the middle of the city.
Sure, yeah.
Downtown.
Yeah. I don't want that.
No, and we don't want it either. And so we want to put it in a place where the great thing about the Jetson site is there's still already an active facility there.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to build a youth prison there as well.
Right, right.
So you would just have to create the Sally Port, which is where they bring them in and out, because they still have the pre-aware sight and sound from adults.
Okay.
And just find a way to navigate them through those through that drive to still do pre-aware. But also, too, when you think about this, one of the things we're looking at is how do we merge both facilities, the juvenile detention.
My last question, too.
And adult. And they still won't be the same. Well, they won't house the same people, but maybe have a center facility that has a laundry, cafeteria, classroom, shared spaces, so that whatever we do has the least amount of impact financially,
yep,
either on the city parish directly on current funds or least amount on the taxpayers if they do have to get involved.
Yeah, one laundry, one kitchen serving both sides. That's
correct.
That's shared cost right there. Absolutely. Which keeps things down for the taxpayers, to be sure. Yeah, that is efficiency, to say the least. Timeline-wise for us, your best-case scenario of when this will get moving.
So what I will say is the mayor commissioned Grace Hebert to do a study, and I think it was pushed forward a little faster by the raise of age with the 17-year-olds having to go back, because you really have nowhere to put them. And that whole debacle. So Grace Hebert is also a part of our task force committee, so they'll be looked and they understand some of the programming challenges. They've been on tours with us, so we're excited that they were the ones that were chosen at least immediately to do the preliminary stuff. When they come back, we'll have more information. That's my answer to you.
Okay.
You know, we wouldn't do a study if I knew the answers, right?
When's the next tour?
So the next tour, we're going to have some feedback from the people that toured yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So that's two tours. That one will be probably in the next 2 to 4 weeks. We'll do another press release. They'll put it on the news. And then the ones that have already signed up will be added. But then we also have another task force tour, again, where the committees and the task force members themselves we'll be going to St. Gabriel to look at that facility.
Okay. He is Metro Councilman Daryl Hurst. That is the latest on the potential of a new East Baton Rouge Parish Prison and
detention.
Potential juvenile detention as well. So I greatly appreciate the time this morning.
Thanks so much, Brian.